As many of you know, I've had a great number of eye doctor's appointments in the last few weeks, and actually over the last several years. But the last couple of weeks, I've been in there, three or four times within about a two-week period. And they always test my vision. And, you know, there gets to be a place where the technician says, now cover your good eye and read this line. And I'm thinking, I could cover both eyes and tell you what that line says because I memorized it. It says OFLCT. I mean, it's just, that's what it says. That doesn't prove that my vision is good. That just proves that I've done this enough that I've memorized the eye chart. And I can recite it pretty much on demand. Now, the problem is that I've always wanted to be smart. And I always want to do well on the test. And so I think it's a good thing if I can spout out these letters and get them all right. But it's not a good thing. Because if I just memorize the eye chart, then the doctor doesn't know whether my vision is getting worse or better. There's no way of knowing what to do to fix it if it is bad. I have no real clarity. I'm just memorizing the eye chart and pretending to know it. And I think pretending to see is the worst kind of blindness that we can experience. Pretending to know is the worst kind of ignorance. Some of the religious establishment of Jesus' time valued the law to the extreme. And in a sense, they had memorized the eye chart, but they couldn't really see. Now, just as an aside here, let me say that when we speak of the law, when Paul speaks of the law in the epistles, we're not talking about the Ten Commandments. We're speaking about 612 rules about daily living. And some people who were very religious and pious believed if they scrupulously kept all 612 of those rules, God would favor them. So when we speak about the law in Scripture, we're talking about this elaborate structure of rules. Now, we still have vestiges of that way of thinking in current religion. In modern Christianity, the emphasis on right doctrine may have taken on the role that the law played in Jesus' time. We think to ourselves, if I'm good enough, and I'm smart enough, and I know all the letters on the eye chart, I will earn my way to heaven. But that kind of claim means rejecting the sacrifice of the cross. It means saying that God doesn't save us. We save ourselves through our behavior. And we can become so wrapped up in explaining Christianity, especially in our tradition, that we forget to practice Christianity. Soren Kierkegaard said that we don't need to define what Christianity is. We simply need to decide if we ourselves are Christian. The gospel today, I think, puts forth this challenge. Will we accept God's decision to set us apart, to save us in order to change the world? God has set us apart, so the priority becomes not what we know, but the sovereignty of God and God's decision that we are to be the salt and light of the world. And this being set apart doesn't come from our effort at all, but from God's action. One source says of this passage, the text calls the reader not to more self-exertion, but to believe Jesus' word and live out the new reality it has already created in the call to discipleship. So why in this passage do we hear Jesus emphasizing the disciples' need to be different? We are not set apart in this world for our benefit. We are set apart to be in the world in order to transform it. I wonder sometimes if we're afraid of that role, of that power that we have to make the world different. Afraid to have a role in that transformation. A writer named Marianne Williamson wrote about this. This is one of my favorite quotes because it hits so close to home for me. She says, our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. She goes on to say, you are a child of God. Your playing small does not serve the world. There is nothing enlightened about shrinking so that other people won't feel insecure around you. We have this power within us if we will claim it and realize that God, through God's action, has set us apart. We can do this sort of intermittently, but it seems like every time the human nature is that instead of sticking with God's vision, we keep trying to reclaim control. We desperately want to say, I know, I understand, I get it. We don't want to admit, I cannot see. We're looking for something that's controllable, quantifiable, predictable, something in which we can clearly prove that we've won our own salvation. The people Jesus criticized wanted to emphasize their ancestry or the law or sacrifices in the temple. They wanted to memorize the eye chart, but didn't want the hard and discomforting work of really seeing that God calls us to be different. To be so different that we push back against the world instead of trying to blend in. But the Christian either begins to redeem the world, or the world robs us of our Christianity. When Jesus speaks out in the Gospels against the religious establishment, he is saying to them, you have to do more than memorize the eye chart. You have to have the courage to see, to admit when you cannot see, so that God can give you God's vision. To pretend to know is the worst kind of ignorance. To pretend to see is the worst kind of blindness. The question comes to us, would you rather recite the eye chart perfectly to prove how smart you are? Or are you willing to relinquish control and let God show you something, albeit something very uncomfortable and challenging, to become a force for changing the world? Jesus tells us we're to be salt and light. We aren't supposed to fit in. We're supposed to be the ones who begin the transformation. So he asks us to stop priding ourselves on having memorized the homework and dare to ask what we could learn to see. God doesn't want us to go through the motions, being pious and checking off church attendance as our religious obligation. God wants to change us, to make us salt and light for the world. God wants to change me, not for my benefit or for God's benefit, but for the world's benefit. Jesus said, I have come not to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. I have come not so that you can prove you've memorized the eye chart. I have come so that you can truly learn to see. And I have come so that others see in you the salt and light that has the power to change. Personally, I pride myself on having memorized the eye chart. But may God give me the humility to utter the truth. I want the humility to say, help me, Jesus, my Savior. Help me, for I cannot see.